pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Monday, March 2nd, 2020. The Major League Soccer 2020 regular season is upon us. We have watched each and every single game to talk to you this morning about Major League Soccer's 25th season. It is underway. Welcome to Soccer Today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I am in an art gallery doing this show today for the Love Actually collection. It just was the quietest place that I could go to do this. So I am doing this show while looking at other people's wedding photos. So that's a different experience.
Do you see myself there? I have pictures of my wedding there?
No. They're mostly Toronto weddings. They're beautiful photos. I will say this. Scarlett O'Neill is the woman's name. So if you look that up, she's very good at what she does if you have a wedding coming up. Not sponsored, although Scarlett, if you're listening, we're happy to listen to.
Patreon.com/sportspodcast. But before we go underway, there's a new venture that if you have looked at your Soccer Today feed today, you have seen it. The MLS postgame show is back. This time it's going to stick around all year long. But for patrons only, week number one is available to everyone. But starting week number two, the $5 tier, SPN Extra tier, you'll find an MLS postgame show where I will go through every single result of the weekend, the big stories. It's recorded late on Sunday nights, so we have time to look at the things. And if need be, we'll have a postgame audio, journalists, and actors of the world of soccer in the show, but available for patrons only, starting in week number two. But for now, enjoy week number one, available on all our feeds as of right now. It was fun to cover games, and Dwayne, we're going to get through the games, but there's a big news that deserves our attention. Coming out of the Nashville-Atlanta game, unfortunately for Atlanta United, Yosef Martinez has torn his ACL. And it's still unclear the length of absence, but we've both been doing our research since yesterday. And well, since the injury was announced yesterday, it happened on Saturday. It could be a long-term injury. Like, as of right now, I wouldn't say the entire season is gone for him, but you should plan according, like he's not coming back for the next month. And if his rehab is going quickly to start, then it might be something else. But it is a long-term injury when we're talking about a torn ACL.
Yeah, the Atlanta's press release came out and said that he was going to undergo surgery for it. So that suggests to me that it's a full tear. Now, with the caveat, as always, when we're talking about injuries, that we are not doctors. With that caveat, generally speaking, when you hear, you know, torn an ACL in the same sentence with an athlete, you expect that athlete to likely miss the rest of that season. Now, it is at the beginning of the season, so there would be a potential chance that if he was a very quick healer, and he's only 26 and he's a world-class athlete, so that is possible. He could come back as quick as 6 months, but any medical advice you read on this says more like 7-8 is your norm before you're even sort of able to get back competing at all. And that's not saying anything to do with match fitness, right? So if you're Atlanta United, you have a decision to make, Kevin, because I you know, for those that aren't familiar, there are provisions within the rules of Major League Soccer to allow for emergency replacement for a season-ending injury, so long as that injury takes place before the close of the primary transfer window, and this has. So Atlanta does have, real quickly before I let you jump in, they can replace him so long as they, A, put him on this long-term injury list, which means that he is out for the year, period. They'd have to make that determination right now and just, you know, if he's had better for the playoffs, SLL, right? So it's a big decision for them. They can also just sit and hope he recovers and then have him in reserve. But if they want to replace him with a player, which they can, as I said, so long as they put him on this long-term list, they have to just shut him down for the whole year. Kevin, if they do put him down real quickly, what they can replace him with is a player up to $250,000. And because he's an international, would have to also be an international, and that player would need to be signed before the end of this window. So there's a lot of work that they would have to do. They'd also, Arthur Black would have to write a check, but I think Arthur Black's done a $250,000 somewhere around, so that's fine.
Yeah, that would be the less difficult situation. Like the less difficult part of this entire thing would be the Arthur Blank check to sign the player. That's not the problem. But you cannot replace a player to the level of Yosef Martinez. He's been the best goal-scoring player over the last 3 years in Major League Soccer. Outside of injuries like this year, he was well on his way to be the goal tally record over a few periods of time, the quickest to 100 and stuff like that that we've seen over the last couple of years with BWP. He was going to break that easily. And now with this injury, all those things are now up in the air. But for Atlanta, this is the only injury that actually might put your chances aside. When you're looking at Atlanta, and here's what I was thinking, Dwayne. Atlanta did a lot of changes in the offseason from Gressel to Villalba and more. So you had one constant when you were looking at Atlanta, example, and your friend DeBoer or your the management of Atlanta, and you're looking at this season. Okay, we got some changes and we need to create chemistry and it'll take time to gel, but we can count on at least one goal, if not two goals per three games per Yosef Martinez, which should give us a chance to win almost every single game. That is not the case anymore. And it changes literally everything that Atlanta is. And I think now Atlanta could be in trouble. Literally, it is changing everyone's predictions in the Eastern Conference after week one. This is the biggest blow Atlanta could have had. Like anybody else on that team. Even say, example, if Miguel Almiron was still playing for Atlanta, and I know I shouldn't look 2 years in the past, but it would have been as significant of an injury. This is a season-derailing moment for Atlanta United.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, there's still talent there, obviously. But when you take out a scorer of Martinez's ability, as you say, it's simply a game-changer. There's no other equivalent. Like, think about how we've talked about TFC in the preseason. It's all with the caveat of if Josie's healthy, right? No one said if Martinez is healthy, but this is the same type of player that means the same thing to that team. So basically he's not going to be healthy. At the very minimum, he is out for 6 months, I would say. Like it's ACL. They've announced it. He's having surgery. Like unless he's, the $6 million man, from the 1970s TV show there, he's not coming back before 6 months.
Steve Austin. His name was Steve Austin. Not the wrestler, but the $6 million man, Steve Austin.
Exactly. So there's a deep cut reference there for y'all. But nonetheless, unless he's something like that, unless there's some kind of miracle technology, which there is not, this is the point I'm making, he's out for at least at least half the season. And then you still have to get back into match fitness. And he is a difference maker in the purest way. Goals change games. And as long as they had Martinez, they were always going to be top of the table and competing for MLS Cup. Look, I think if you're Atlanta United, what you need to do is really evaluate whether or not you have enough to win without him. And if you determine right now that you're probably not going to win a championship without him,
don't spend. Yeah.
I think you shut him down.
Yeah.
And you maybe do a little bit of research to see if you can find something to come in, another player that can supplement him once he's here. I wouldn't necessarily just go for the best bang. I might, if I were them, look for a player that you would then hold on to. So that you would have to maybe not sign him for the full $250,000 because of salary issues then when Martinez fully comes back on the books. That's the other thing about this. Basically, you get relief for the salary if you sign him and pay out of your pocket. But once Martinez comes back on the books, then clearly you have to carry his DP head, which is 600 and some thousand plus whatever the player is. So it's a very expensive.
Plus you have to still account for the new player that you paid for. So
yeah, no, that's so, no longer, you're no longer getting that waived. Right?
So the value might not even be there after all. So maybe Atlanta's best bet is to be like, you know what, Joseph, take the year. We've seen it last year, right? And is it related to last year's injury? And that's the other thing. How this was handled by Atlanta United, by Frank DeBoer, in-game also. We've seen it happen. It's hard to pinpoint the exact moment because he was the moment of the second time he got injured and couldn't carry on when he basically fell down, raised his hand, and like, okay, I'm done. But before that, if he knows, and there's now talk behind the scenes with what happened with Martinez last year, how we all thought it was months and months, and it turns out to be weeks, and he came back in the playoff, and he's really tough with this body. His pain threshold is high. So that means that it's not up to the player to decide if he's fit to play, because if it's up to him, he's always going to say yes, which could lead to what we've seen on Saturday. Now, is that something? Is there something behind now, from now on, you are monitoring Yosef Martinez? Load management should be part of Yosef Martinez when he comes back in a year. And not only that, but you should, as a medical staff part of Atlanta, you are monitoring and you are deciding if he's good to go. Because if it's up to him, we know his pain threshold, we know he's going to go all out until he can't anymore, and that means he's going to run until his leg doesn't want to run anymore. That's what happened. Maybe there is something to how this injury and how Yosef Martinez on his side and how on the medical side, and together how Frank De Boer in a situation of waiting 5 to 10 minutes, and maybe that extra run made the difference between a partial tear and a full tear. Sometimes that's the difference, literally. So yeah, those are the questions that I'm raising from the handling of the injury and of last year's injury that might have led to this year's injury.
It's, again, caveat, we're not doctors or physiotherapists or athletic trainers, but you know, we've observed these people, and it's a very difficult job because you have athletes that do have high pain thresholds, do have, you know, compete levels, to steal a hockey term, that are off the charts, and they're not going to shut themselves down. You know, you think of the Michael Bradley situation here in Toronto, where had he just shut himself down last November, then probably he's playing now, but that personality is not the guy that's going to do that. So as a medical professional that's working with these clubs, it's a very fine line you have to work. But I do think that that's why, as much as it might be tempting for Atlanta to say, well, let's just see if we can get by without him for 4 or 6 months, and then maybe he comes back and gives us a push into the playoffs. To me, I put him on that list, even if I'm not intending to get a player to replace him, because that way you know it's done. Joseph, you need to recover. You need to focus on getting yourself better. You need to focus on recovering from the injury that you have, because you're not coming back. We have shut you down for the year. And I think that if you do that, then you're not tempted to push faith and perhaps make this more serious. This man's still young. He's only 26.
Exactly.
So if he sits out for a year, he still has a lot to give.
You jeopardize his future. That's the thing. You know, when we talk about sometimes young athletes and these different sports, where sports example like boxing and combat sports, this is kind of used, you put a limiter on the athlete, because you know he's going to go, example, all out on sparring, on training, and he's going to take out too much punishment because he doesn't know how to limit himself. You put a speed limiter. What do people do with fancy cars that would go way too fast? Well, they put a speed cap. Yeah, put a speed cap on Yosef Martinez, shut him down for the season, and make him recover and give him time. Maybe that's the best solution for Atlanta after all.
Yeah. As I said, and look, maybe it means that your 2020 expectations are suddenly, instead of MLS Cup or Supporters Shield contending, suddenly it's make playoffs, yeah, blood in some younger players, make sure your style, you know, maybe you're more in that mid-range level. And it's a funny league. You get in the playoffs, you never know what can happen. But yeah, it's sports is funny, right? In one moment, you're on the top, and then one snap, and you're going the wrong way. And that's the precarious nature of a roster build that is reliant upon DPs, and no team is immune to it. You know, we talked in the previews a lot about teams that lack depth beyond the DPs, the big positions. We didn't really mention Atlanta this because Joseph has not had a history of this, but here we are. And it just illustrates how this can happen to any one team, and why, you know, this is why we're not making millions in Vegas betting on this sport, right?
No, exactly. Well, speaking of betting on this sport, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll do a Canadian and a week in review. We'll look at some results in Major League Soccer and the big stories coming out of week one in the 25th season of MLS.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And We're back on Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Laramie. You want to hear more about the weekend of Major League Soccer? MLS Postgame Show is now available anywhere you get your podcast. Week 2 will be for patrons only, and you can become a patron at patreon.com/sportspodcasting for $2, $5, and $10 a month for a limited time only. The audio documentary about the 2000 Gold Cup, A Gold Quest, How Canada Won the 2000 Gold Cup, which celebrates its 20-year anniversary just a couple days ago, is available for everyone, and all that and more at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Now we're hearing Dwayne back, and I hope you didn't touch any of the art pieces on the wall, Dwayne, because that's why the siren could go off. But let's talk about Major League Soccer's week number one. Before we go game by game, two things really that are big storylines outside of the injury that I want to talk to you about, Dwayne. Newcomers scoring in their debut. There's been a few, and it was quite fascinating. Either their debut with new teams, and also, how many years have we been talking about set pieces? I started the day at about 3:10 p.m., okay, Eastern Time. I tweeted a statistic that it's been long time in the making. About 30% of goals in the history of Major League Soccer comes from set pieces, okay? And then the whole day in front of me unfolded. Set pieces goal after set pieces goal. People be like, oh my Lord, I haven't realized. Yeah, people, practice your set pieces. Pay attention. Also, video is not equal to practice.
Well, for sure. I mean, it's a vital part of any sports league, but particularly a league like Major League Soccer where you have a lot of big athletic players, like particularly at the back end. The nature of the beast in this part of the world is that we tend to look at the big tree trunks and go, they're defenders, but those big tree trunks can head the ball well. So, and they work on that to get to professional level. But also, when you have a disparity of talent in a league from top to bottom, you tend to have a lot of focus put on attacking that. And if you can't defend those set pieces, then you're going to be in trouble. This is not, you know, MLS still is a league that generally speaking plays very simple systems in a lot of ways. There's not a lot of Pep Guardiola's out there making elaborate game plans. This is all about basics, forward soccer in a lot of ways. And look, that'll clean up a little bit. It's not sustainable to think that there's going to be, the majority of goals scored off of a set piece moving forward as the league goes deeper into the season. Generally, the better teams will start to shut that down because they will, in fact, do take your advice and do this better. And once that happens, then, you know, if that was how you were winning, you're not winning anymore. So, yeah, but it certainly is a way early on that you will often see a lot of action.
The great equalizer, set pieces in Major League Soccer, which is funny. If you go back to my post-game show, the Montreal Impact this weekend off the woodworks, I was talking to Joel Waterman about that play, that set piece, about the training pitch. And that's what I mentioned. Like, this kind of looked like training pitch situation. He kind of smiled, looked at me like, didn't want to give away too many secrets. But let's take a look also, Dwayne. What was fascinating to me is newcomers scoring for their team. Heck, Chicago even took the lead. Barrett scored. Kyoto scored for Montreal. Alan Pulido scored in his debut 16 minutes in for Kansas City. A lot of Keita also scored for Sporting Kansas City. You got a lot of newcomers making their presence felt in week number one. Maybe not Chicharito, but others have made their presence felt in week number one. It was quite overall, before we get down to the nitty-gritty of games and the Canadian review, I have to say, I watched pretty much every single minute of every game. That was fun.
That'll often be what happens during week one of MLS. I didn't quite hit every minute of every game, but I did watch all of the games that mattered to me and have watched highlights of every game like I do every week. But the first week of Major League Soccer is always a lot of fun. First off, you're excited to get back. Second off, it's a little chaotic at times, and it's a little sloppy between the defensive side of things. So it leads to some moments here and there. Certainly the end of the Impact game there with that chip goal is. Oh, I don't think you see that in July, but it was fun.
Yeah, there's a couple of chips this weekend. That and yesterday, Carlos Vela chipping the goalie. Also, Nashville debuted on Saturday. Dwayne, we've talked about what happened with Josef Martinez. Did you enjoy that guitar riff as much as I did? Okay, the before that, and the whole, like, crowd, and the call, the backline. It's fine. To each his own. And, you know, the crowd singing and everyone, it's fine. But I kind of say the guitar riff, that was kind of cool. Like, just let the guitar player play. Let him have a solo, and it sounded awesome. That was pretty damn cool.
Well, Nashville knows music. Music City, USA. Look, I'm going to try and be gentle in how I say this, but there's really no way to be gentle in how I say this. It's almost like the marketing push when you get into fan engagement stuff has come completely full circle back around, and Nashville is starting to climb up that kind of cringeworthy side of things again, and that's my own perspective here. It doesn't seem very organic to me, but...
No, I know that some parts, no. Yeah, some parts, no, but that guitar riff, though, that was cool. So sometimes you find gems. Yeah. I was gonna say you know where diamonds come from, right? It's just a regular rock with a lot of pressure and a lot of heat, but sometimes out of weird things comes out greatness, and that guitar riff is greatness to me. Let's talk about games, Dwayne. Let's just go through quickly. We might not go through every single game. Like, there's only so many things I can say of the Orlando RSL 0-0 game that happened in Orlando. I guess it happened on Saturday. Let's start with Montreal and New England. Montreal 2, New England 1. You mentioned that chip from Maxi Urruti. Romel Chiodo scoring early. Well, not early, but scoring the first goal for the Montreal Impact. Teal Bunbury. Who else? Impact killer. Canadian men's national team killer, I guess. Teal Bunbury. He's a dream killer of the Canadian men's national team, but that's a long time ago today. Never mind. The Impact killer, Teal Bunbury, always scores against the Impact. And Montreal, though, got a goal late. Thierry Henry wins his debut in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, and don't tell him he's playing five at the back, even though he's clearly playing five at the back.
Well, no, but depends. When they don't have the ball, they have five on the back. When they have the ball, they're three on the back. Come on, you should have got that by now with the press conferences.
Yeah. When you're sitting that deep, it's five at the back, which is fine because it makes sense. You're going to release your wing backs. It's a pretty common system. In fact, it's a system that TFC used in 2017 to great effect for most of that season. So it's hardly that new. Montreal is sitting a little deeper than I think they'd probably like at this point, but that is by necessity. And I think you got to give Henri credit for recognizing what he has and figuring out a way to get some points because... and advancing the CCL for that matter. Yeah. It's not been pretty, but the goal was pretty. Yeah. So that's something.
Well, I just want to touch on two things that you mentioned about Thierry Henry. And I think that's what I've learned over the last week covering Thierry Henry and being there in a few press conferences that he have mentioned. And I think it's important. Two phrases that he used. He used the aspect of, I cannot be stubborn with how I want this team to play. It's about... realistically, what's the best choice of the best chance of a result? And right now, I'm not stubborn. I don't want to be stubborn in how I play. It's what I think is effective. At training camp, they were leaking goals with four at the back, and they've adjusted just before the CONCACAF Champions League with five at the back, and it's been working, and they're moving from there. You got to reassure before you can go forward. That being said, it's also an attacking formation. We have seen Corrales and Zachary Broguillard be able to support the attack both in the CONCACAF Champions League and in Major League Soccer in Week 1, and that is created with the space that you can have when you have three center back and two that can go forward as your fullback. So you go back to listen to Thierry Henry, but also the thing that I think he mentioned is style will come later. Right now, results are more important. Pragmatism, the realistic approach of not being stubborn, so it means he's willing to adapt. Those are the traits of successful managers coming from outside of Major League Soccer. You cannot be stubborn, and you got to be willing to adapt. So far, so good with Thierry Henry.
Look, this whole idea that fans are flocking out to only watch certain styles has always baffled me a little bit. Fans flock out to watch, to have fun in the stands.
And to win.
To be part of the community and to see wins. That's what they want. I've been to some pretty dire 1-0 TFC victories over the years, but if it ended up 1-0 as TFC victory, no one cared.
Guess what?
And that's really what it comes down to.
The sip of beer tastes as good if it was a 1-0 victory with a golazo from 30 yards or a penalty because of a call that you didn't even deserve. Tastes as good. The win tastes as good. That's, I guess, what we have to remember. If you want to know more about the Montreal Impact's victory off the woodworks of the weekend, is available everywhere and also as a TV show on YouTube with video press conference and myself live from the Olympic Stadium. I suggest you give it a listen. Houston, LA. Houston getting a point late in this game. Good job for Houston. Mauro Manotas, who else for the Houston Dynamo got the equalizer? Let's talk about the Professor. Let's talk about San Jose, Toronto FC. San Jose giving away a, Toronto FC letting a 2-league goal go away. San Jose coming back in this game at home for a draw late in this game with the last action. What was your thought on TFC's game on Saturday?
Look, I mean, TFC fans are scarred by 2012-2013, so they assume TFC allows a lot of late goals, more than most teams in the league. And so it doesn't help when you open up your season doing the same damn thing. They don't. I've looked at this every which way, and other than those 2 years that I mentioned, there has not been an abnormal amount of late goals. So put that on a shelf unless it happens like three more times in the next month. It's not really that big of a deal. Look, you never want to have it happen from a TFC perspective, but overall, considering it's a West Coast game, first game of the year, to get the points, yeah, it seems like points lost rather than gained, but in a global sense of a season, I think a one-point gain on the road for your opening game on the West Coast is going to be okay. Now, they need to sort of back that up with 3 points on Saturday at the home opener, which I'm looking out at the weather right now, and I'm not too sure why we're going to be standing outside in the freezing rain in a week. That's another story.
Well, here's I got a weird question for you, Dwayne, and it's not, we haven't planned this, and so I don't want to put you on the spot if you don't have the answer. It's fair, and it's all good. But can you explain to our listeners a bit, and maybe to me as well, why the setup that like Montreal uses of playing at the Olympic Stadium, and why maybe Toronto doesn't play a couple games at the Rogers Center, or just why it's not an opportunity, why it's not a feasibility? And I think it's important for our listeners because they're wondering, why is Toronto playing in March, 7th, outside in Toronto? Does BMO Field actually is winterized, though, and has a heated pitch? But why is Rogers Center not an option?
Well, there's a couple reasons. There's a pragmatic reason and there's a cynical reason. And I'll start with the pragmatic reason. You've seen games at the Yankee Stadium, at Citi Field. The field that you would have to use would be much smaller. It's not a great sightline view. It has been even more restricted from when TFC did play a couple games at Rogers Center back in 2012-2013. Those dates are coming up a lot in this show so far. When they did play back there, including an MLS game, they played a single MLS game there against Kansas City. It was their opener in 2013. Since that time, Rogers Center has made some changes to the baseball configuration, which makes it less of an area that you can use for a soccer pitch. They dug out the infield, basically, so there's dirt and holes there, so it wouldn't be safe to put a pitch over that. So that's out of the mix. The cynical reason is revenue, pure and simple. The one professional sports team and stadium in this city that MLSC does not own and operate is Rogers Center. Therefore, for them to play there, they would be needing to pay, half of their ownership does, but they would MLSE would still have to be writing a check to Rogers to play there. They would not be controlling revenues in the stadium. There's a whole lot of financial considerations that wouldn't necessarily happen. And as you say, they also spent a lot of money to make BMO Field winterized, and it goes beyond the underheating. The underheating's been there forever.
Yeah.
The bigger issue and why they played the games indoors in 12-13, the early part of last decade, was because they hadn't winterized the pipings and things like that throughout the stadium. So, you know, not to be gross, but you can't go to the bathroom if the pipes are frozen. And that's, you know, when a lot of people are drinking in a stadium, you kind of need your bathrooms looking. So
bathrooms are important.
Part of it too.
Bathrooms are really important in a stadium. But I thought that was a worthwhile information for our listeners. Let's continue with our Canadian review. We're looking at Vancouver. Also, on Saturday, Vancouver Whitecaps open up their season at home versus Sporting Kansas City. What did you think about the game? I know you watched it a couple times. There were some good moments. Cavallini was maybe in need of more of a service, and I think it's going to be maybe the story of the year for the Whitecaps.
What did I think about the Whitecaps? That is going to not get me in trouble further so with Vancouver listeners. They need some help in the midfield. That's my number one thing I think about the Whitecaps. There was a lot of gaps there, particularly when they were trying to defend. SKC was like a hot knife through butter through that midfield a lot and was getting opportunities to push forward, particularly early. As you mentioned, Cavallini had one point blank opportunity, although I think it would have been called offside on VAR had it gone in. It was a close call nonetheless, but regardless, other than that one opportunity, he didn't really factor a lot, and that's going to be, as you say, a story for this team moving forward. But the opportunity that he did factor in, if you don't recall, he broke in behind, had a hint of offside to it, as I said, but regardless, he did get a step. The keeper came out, charged well, made the save, but it was a good opportunity. I think that illustrates that Cavallini, if given even a quarter of a chance, will create. So that's a positive for them, and it makes them better than the Whitecaps said it is, better than they were last year, where they really didn't have that.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's still going to be – they're still in the middle of a rebuild, and it's not close to done, and the results showed. I mean, at KC, you need to keep in mind, KC was among the bottom teams in the West last year. Well, we think they're better.
Yeah. Well,
still not really that promising to be thrown down that easily at home in your opener.
No, and Pulido is going to be a good player this year in Major League Soccer. He's going to score 15 to 20 goals. Like, if you can score 15 to 20 goals in Liga MX last year, you're going to score 15 to 20 goals in Major League Soccer this year. Before we say goodbye for today, one more game I want to talk to you about while we look at Sunday's result. We know LAFC beat Inter Miami with a nice chip, 1-0. Miami, a valiant performance. On the road, it's not going to be easy. They have to play defensively, and it's hard to find service for your top players when you really have to be realistic about your movement and your shape going forward for Miami. But I want to talk about Columbus NYCFC. What was Chanel thinking 3 minutes in? What a debut for NYCFC in 2020. Red card 3 minutes in, and they survived for a while. It took Columbus a long time, but eventually they found their chances. Zelarayan making his debut count. Once again, a newcomer scoring in his debut in Major League Soccer. Columbus 1, NYCFC 0. The favorite now in the Eastern Conference falters in their debut.
Yeah, look, but the preferred underdog pick of a lot of people is Columbus too. So they did get it done. Well, you can't pick a card like that early in a game. That goes without saying.
Like, you can't give the ref no chance like it too. Like, if it's something else, the ref's gonna be like, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But it's black and white like this. You're like, dude, you give me no chance. Here's the red card.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's the first game of the season, not for the team, but in the league, the ref's first game of the year. Everyone's like wanting to ease into things. Like 3 minutes into your new job, it's like you show up for work and all of a sudden someone throws like, yeah.
It's like your first day of school. You walk in, you're like, all right, you get to know everyone. The teacher's like, all right, we have an exam. You're like, what? What are you talking about, an exam? I just sat down.
Welcome to grade 5. Here is your calculus test.
Like, what? Then,
well, I don't know my multiplication tables yet. At any rate, I still have to count in my head to do multiplication. I never was very good at that. 5 times 5, I have to go 5, 10, 15, 20, 25.
Oh, my Lord. Anyway, okay, no problem.
That's how I do math.
Go work as a server. Go work as a server for a year. That's going to help your mental math really quickly.
Yeah, well, no, I can do it. I do it weirdly. People don't understand how I do my math in my head, but it works for me. It is not how I was taught, and it is certainly not calculus at any rate.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing, though, because a lot of people wouldn't understand what happens in our own heads anyway, so I'm glad that they're out of it, because, yeah, I'd probably be not doing this if people were thinking what's in my head. So.
Sure.
Moving on. Let's go. So, Columbus, NYCFC. And yeah, you're right. You don't give the ref any chance. He's going to have to send you off. Everyone wanted to ease into this game, except Maxime Cheneau. Columbus ended up with the victory at the end, 1-0. A valiant performance by Minnesota late last night also to finish the weekend. Overall, a great weekend in Major League Soccer. A couple of upsets. Always big stories, big news coming out of week one. There's always a big player being injured. This time around, it's the biggest player of all almost in Major League Soccer, and it's kind of unfortunate. But the season is underway, Dwayne, and it is the 25th season, and MLS is back.
It is. You know, I think it's of note that we didn't mention the name Chicharito. He was invisible on the weekend.
You know what's funny?
I saw... You know,
sorry, I don't mean to interrupt
go
you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Chicharito, like, on Pavon's goal, I was, like, rewatching it a few times, and the commentators are trying real hard to include Chicharito in there. Like, they're trying real hard. Oh, yeah, he was involved. It's Pavon, okay? It has nothing to do with the little P.
No
build-up play by Chicharito. He was not the reason that Pavon scored, okay?
Oh, no. I commented on that on the weekend. The commentator claimed that it was the run which drew the defenders away from Pavon. Well, here's the thing. The defenders weren't drawn away from Pavon. He had to curl down around two players. Chicharito just made a standard run that I could have made. At any rate.
Guess what?
It might get better, but that's going to be something to watch, too.
Houston defenders were smart. Like, yeah, if I have to cover Pavon or Chicharito, guess who I'm choosing? You can go, Chicharito. I'm covering Pavon.
Exactly. I mean, the other game, if you haven't had a chance to watch it back, and you can actually, if you have DAZN, you can watch them all on replay. The TSN has put all of their games available for replay. So if you haven't watched your games yet, you can go. The Cincinnati Red Bulls game is an illustration in the pure insanity of Major League Soccer Week 1 in terms of the terrible, terrible defending. I watched that game in New York 1-3-2 with... Yeah. Zero faith in either of those teams. Oh my God, Cincinnati was like broken down and all the way, and then New York let them back in somehow. Yeah. Pure breakaway for the 2-second goal. Yeah, watch that one if you have a chance.
No, it's true. It is quite interesting. And you did see a higher level of defending from teams coming out of the CCL. Like the two games played by the five teams that aren't actually taking part of the CONCACAF Champions League did show on the Montreal was defending a lot better than I would have anticipated. Like, that's, I have to say, that's for three games. But LAFC recovered well. Seattle, after the defeat, came back in that game, like Jordan Morris, special. So, no, that we were right last week saying the two games played by the five teams actually will give him an advantage. But, yeah, it's a story we'll continue to watch all week long. MLS is back. Live Monday to Friday, Soccer Today, right here at Soccer Today SPN on Twitter. Podcasts available everywhere you get your podcasts. And thanks for subscribing to our podcast feed. We've had record numbers over the last few days, and that's all up to you. And we thank you for your viewership, listenership, watching us on YouTube, watching us on Twitter Live, watching us on Facebook, commentating, retweeting, sharing. It all helps us a lot moving forward, and we would like to wish you all a great season. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of The World of Football with a Soccer Perspective. MLS is back, and until tomorrow, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.